heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. It's Mr. 100 and the five-star man right here exclusively on the Podzilla 1985 network. If you see this hosted on any other network, if you see Mr. 100-ish and the five-and-a-half-star man on the Jittery Monkey network, not us. They're probably better if it's Kevin and his friends, but this is the exclusive one right here on Podzilla. My name is Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100. With me tonight, of course, the five-star man, Asa Gray.
Yes.
And the lovely, who just looks super gorgeous today, Allie Hebert.
Hello.
What was that? You raised your eyebrows in a I don't believe him manner.
She was waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, I kind of was.
You know, sometimes I can just compliment you guys. Like, it doesn't always have to be bad.
You can always compliment us. But it happens so rarely that we don't know what we, it's like, what is this? What's happening?
What do you want? How much money do you need? Let's start off the show by talking about Uwe Boll. That's how you pronounce his name. We talked about him on Thursday. We went over like video game movies because with Detective Pikachu coming out, by the way, saw it twice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Very good. The second time was even better.
So Jesse was giving his review, so I was like, hey, I have this prediction. Just say yes or no. So I sent him what I assumed was going to happen with the movie, and then he confirmed, so I am a movie wizard.
Was it good or bad? Like, you were like, oh,
no,
this
plot,
is...
No, like, plot-wise.
Okay. I bet I know which one it is.
The big one.
Yeah, yeah. I got that about probably halfway to three-fourths through the movie. Mm-hmm. The best part, though, was when Allie, right before they revealed it, Allie realized it, and I saw the look on her face.
She was along for the ride.
Yes, I just enjoy watching movies.
Well, that must be nice.
And she looked over at me, and I was like, oh, did you just get it?
And then I pouted because he was being mean.
So, yeah, it was really good. Like, I highly recommend Detective Pikachu. It's like, as much as I love Warcraft and I love the Warcraft movie, I would say this is definitely the best video game movie I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It was just really cool. Seeing all the Pokemon in, like, live action, even though I know they weren't live action, but, you know, messing around with live action.
But, like, in the real...
See, in a realistic style.
And that's what Jesse said, is it was, like, that was the weakest part of the movie, is any time a human had to interact with... a Pokemon.
There
clearly were some missed cues or...
There was a couple, like there was one or two that didn't look as good as some other stuff.
But it was still really good compared to what it could have been.
It didn't take me out of the movie at all.
Yeah.
And there are other parts that were legitimately like awe-inspiring. And it's little things. The very beginning of the movie when you see like Pidgeys on a roof and then they jump off and fly through the, you know, and then you'll see like, I don't know the name of all the Pokemons, but there's like one that's very much like a cow type Pokemon, and it's like running through the, like a buffalo and it's running behind a gate. Mm-hmm. Like it's little stuff that makes you go like, okay, this is how you would actually integrate Pokemon into a real world. Mm-hmm. Not like a video game where all the Pokemon exist just to sit out in the grass for you to catch.
Right.
Like these Pokemon are clearly like involved with human beings, and it made me look at Pokemon in a different way. Again, highly recommend it. Plus Gyarados was badass. And they knew Gyarados was badass because everyone got scared when they saw him. Spoiler alert. Well, no, he was in the trailer.
I don't think he was.
Shit.
Yeah, because it's one of those things that we also talked about where it's like, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, Pokemon in the real world would be awesome until you see what they would actually look like and you're like, hard pass. And then you remember, oh yeah, Beedrill are a thing.
Yes.
So even harder pass.
Yes, my one regret with the film is that we did not see just a gang of small children, which are actually Beedrill, walking around in the grass chasing people. Because that's the horror movie version.
Yeah.
That's the scary one. Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to Uwe Boll.
Are you excited about the sequel they announced?
Oh, for Pokemon?
Yeah.
What is it?
Do you know? Did you really not see that?
No.
District Attorney Eevee.
It's the cutest.
I made you so excited.
That's the cutest little district
attorney. Someone on Twitter had made like a legit like Detective Pikachu style logo with that, and it's like, all right, these split movies are getting insane now.
Well, you got to watch both to see all the Pokemon to get the entire plot. But we talked about it on Thursday. We went over all the bad video game movies, and there are a bunch. But there are some good ones, too. There are a handful of really good video game films. Like, can you... I don't know if you heard the episode, but can you name five video game movies off the top of your head that you legitimately liked?
Dylon.
Son of a bitch. Oh, Jesus.
No, I can't. Unless you count, like, Wreck-It Ralph.
Nope.
Not
Scott Pilgrim.
Okay, so yeah, that was going to be the next one. The only, like... video game movie that I can think of off the top of my head is I genuinely enjoyed. No, this is a movie I enjoyed. This is not a good movie.
You're not saying it's a good film.
It's one you enjoyed.
But it's a movie I enjoyed. Mortal Kombat.
See, I like that one too. Yeah. Like that's what we mentioned on Thursday.
I enjoy that movie. I would never say that's a good movie.
I think until probably either Tomb Raider or Warcraft came out, that was like the standard for, okay, you can make a movie, video game movie, fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was legitimately fun movie. Because
it was, yeah, it was a fun, it was a goofy B action movie, which very much plays into the story of the games, the last three that they've made.
Right.
Because like even back to 9 with the soft reboot that they did, it is a, it's more of just like, okay, yeah, we're making a popcorn action movie.
And they kind of prove that you don't have to do blood and gore to make Mortal Kombat entertaining, because there was no blood or gore in that movie. Mm-hmm. There was some violence, but I mean, like, it was never to the level of the games.
They're making another one.
Officially, movie?
Yeah, it's going to film in Australia.
I told you about Doom Annihilation, didn't I?
Yes. Or no. Is that the one that someone was like, they put out a trailer,
yes,
and someone asked id Software, like,
yes,
hey, I didn't know you guys were making a Doom movie.
We have nothing to do with this.
And they responded with, we have unequivocally nothing to do with this movie.
Because that trailer looks very Sci-Fi Channel bad. Mm-hmm. But off the top of my head, Allie, help me out here, I would say Silent Hill was a great movie.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Silent Hill?
No.
That was a good one. That was legitimately a good film.
I think the reason I didn't see that is because I never played those games. So I didn't like, I, it was, one
it would
of,
help.
So it didn't like, so it didn't like,
it didn't register.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I'm sure there's an argument that could be made for the Resident Evil movies.
I made that argument on Thursday.
Okay.
And it got shot down quick.
Cause like after a certain point, they have absolutely nothing to do with the video games.
That's exactly what I said.
Okay.
I was like, the first movie I think was a pretty good movie, but as the series went on, it got just progressively further away from the games, and then it made no sense.
Okay.
And they weren't good. But Silent Hill, Warcraft, was a big fan of the Warcraft movie. Absolutely loved it. Detective Pikachu was really good. Mortal Kombat.
Rampage.
Who's it?
Rampage.
Yeah, Rampage was good. Like, it's so far away from... That's hard to say. It was good. It was good.
I mean, it's hard to make a narrative about Rampage.
That's not
Rampage.
Just a Godzilla ripoff?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a good film.
Did you see that... We've talked about this on Nerd Up before, but did you see that?
And then we're
going
to come back to Uwe Boll in just a second, I swear, kids. I'm not going to leave this thread hanging.
They're doing a Monster Hunter movie?
Yeah, with directed by...
Paul W.S. Anderson.
Who directed the Resident Evil
other
movies.
Other stuff. Like, well, it's also starring Mila Jovovich,
his
Tony Jaa, Ron Perlman, and T.I. But have you read like what it's about?
Isn't it like soldiers from now get sucked
into the Monster Hunter world?
Yeah, that's weird. Like,
did you guys talk about like how great, clearly like the best, well, it's cool Detective Pikachu came out and everyone's like, oh, this is the best video game movie that's ever been made.
Yeah.
So they can have that like 3 months or 6 months, I guess, until Sonic comes out. And then Sonic will clearly be the best video game movie ever made.
I'll stand by what I said, that watch Sonic come out and just be
a like masterpiece.
99% on Rotten Tomatoes, a lot of fun. Like when the Mario Rabbids game came out, everybody's like, oh, that's going to be bad. Oh, it's really good? Shit. Well, what were we thinking about? Anyway, so we talked about bad video game movies. We discussed Uwe Boll, and that's how I'm going to pronounce his name now because I think that's right. Hunter, correct me again. Because he's done the absolute worst video game movies, and that's the only movies he's done, I think. I don't think he's ever, at least none in America have ever come out. No, there was one. There was one called, I think, Rampage, but it was not that Rampage. It was about a guy who just goes out and starts murdering people. That was not a video game movie that he did.
It was just a fantasy of his after people talked about his movies.
But he did Alone in the Dark. He did
Blood Rain, Postal, House of the Dead.
House of the Dead was the worst one, probably. Alone in the Dark.
Rampage and Rampage President Down.
That's the ones I was thinking of, yeah.
Far Cry.
Oh God, I keep forgetting he did a. It's so weird to think there was a Far Cry movie.
He did a bunch of movies that weren't based on video games. I'm assuming Auschwitz wasn't based on a video game.
No, I think that's a Call of Duty mod.
In the Name of the King.
A Dungeon Siege Tale.
1, 2, and 3.
Those are video games.
Tunnel Rats, Assault on Wall Street, Darfur.
Those are not video
Blubberella.
Games. Blubberella. Okay, let me tell you about Blubberella. Can I tell you about Blubberella?
Do you need to?
I know what it is. This is what Blubberella is. I'm not making this up. He remade Blood Rain 3, the movie, mm-hmm. which is set in like the Nazi camp and stuff. He took all the actors from that and made a spinoff movie while they filmed it at the same time called Blubberella, where he replaced Blood Rain with a fat girl. But it's the same movie. How stupid it is. So he's clearly a piece of shit person.
Yeah, they both came out in 2011. Blubberella and Blood Rain the Third Reich.
Yeah. It's, if you ever look it up, it's the same actors. Fucking Clint Howard is in it, which doesn't surprise me. It also kind of does.
I feel like we could get Clint Howard on this show.
Disappoints me a little bit. But Josh, from Press Start to Join hung out with the son of a bitch like over the weekend. And the timing couldn't be weirder that Josh would hang out with him. And I meant to ask him because I think he had posted about it on Twitter and Dalton had tagged me in it. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to ask him if he had challenged him to a fight. Because do you remember that?
Yeah, where he challenged like
the critics to come box him in a sparring match, a fun match. But fun he was match. A trained boxer.
Yeah, he just wanted to beat up people who said his shit movies were shit.
Yep. That is a real thing that happened. So, hot damn. If it wasn't for Pro Jared, Uwe Boll would be the motherfucker of the week on Thursday. But because Pro Jared is a thing, he's going to take the cake.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
It is a bummer. So.
Wait, I thought you said there was something else you wanted to talk about before that.
Deaths.
I didn't know if you had an order or if that was even it.
I was just kind of segueing.
I'm a little scatterbrained.
I'll segue in one way or the other. But since you mentioned it, I do want to mention two very important people to their industries passed away today. Tim Conway passed away. I think he was 85.
Yeah, he was in his 80s for sure.
He was, of course, legendary comedian. He was Dorf. That's where my family knew him. Dorf on golf. Anybody? No. He was a midget. Really? Like, that's how they referred to him. I'm just saying that was the joke, mm-hmm. was that he was a quote-unquote midget. And that was the humor, was like, look at little man do normal things. He's so funny. He's got mm-hmm. little legs. But he was a good comedian.
You're not going to like me for the two that I know mostly know. Because, like, clearly he's most widely known from the Carol Burnett Show. Yeah. Like, that's where he's most known from. Yeah.
Is one of them The Simpsons?
No.
Because that was a funny guest starring he did.
The two most, the ones that spring to mind when I realized it was him were 30 Rock. He was in one episode where he was like an older retired network exec that Kenneth had to show around, and he was just so offensive because it was a sign of it was one of those like different times thing.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, and this is the writer's room, or they we used to call this the Jew room.
Good.
Yeah, just and like it was, so he was one of those characters.
So
and then
I legitimately, when you said 30 Rock, mm-hmm. I don't know why that translated into my head as Third Rock from the Sun. When you're like Kenneth, I'm like, was there a Kenneth on that show?
Yeah. And then the other one is he was the voice of Barnacle Boy in SpongeBob.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now Allie knows who Tim Conway is. Oh, yeah. He was also in Speed 2.
Because it's his voice. Like, his voice is what clicked. Like, I didn't recognize the name. And even, like, the face, it took me a minute. But then when I saw a clip, even of a much younger him, I was like, oh, holy crap. Yeah. Like, that's what registered the 30 Rock thing.
I grew up. My parents were big fans of, like, guys like that. My dad loved Tim Conway. He loved Dorf. Like, we had mm-hmm. a bunch of Dorf videos. He was very funny man. Like I said, his appearance on The Simpsons, he was on one of their... It was like a special where they did spinoff shows. It was like a variety show where they said Tim Conway's coming. And Homer's like, what's a Tim Conway? And he's like, oh, about 125 pounds. I just don't know why I love that joke. Mm-hmm. That joke was very, very funny.
Kevin posted like, or someone posted a screenshot of that. Like,
really? That was very funny to me. I like that. And then the other person that passed away, and this one is especially important to us on the I Want to Believe side of the podcast, Stanton Friedman passed away today. Stanton Friedman was the legendary ufologist who has been in this since probably before Roswell. He was like the civilian investigator on the Roswell crash. I actually interviewed Stanton Friedman a couple years ago for Blogzilla in 1985, and I had a chance to talk to him. He was very smart. He was very sharp, but he was also very serious. I fondly remember joking around with him to try to get like a laugh or a reaction. He was just laser focused on what we were talking about, but very knowledgeable guy. And for like the UFO community and for the paranormal community, it's a very big loss today in Stanton Friedman. And he was 84. So two very, very important people from my life kind of passed away today. And it's a very sad day, but it's one of those things that they were in their mid-80s, so you can't say that they didn't have a long life.
Right.
But it's still sad when people pass away, especially people that you look up to and especially in like Stanton Friedman's case, that you relied on for information and stuff like that. So,
did you know that in 2001, Tim Conway did Dorf the Bingo King?
I thought that series ended in the 90s.
Well, this
where
was
it
a,
should have.
This was a movie, so.
It was a movie.
He
okay.
had, apparently, this was a series of movies. Dorf on Golf was in 1987.
That's the one that I remember watching many, many times.
In 1988, there was also Dorf and the First Games of Mount Olympus and Dorf's Golf Bible. Then in 1990, Dorf goes auto racing. In 1993, Dorf goes fishing. 1996, Dorf on the diamond. And then, yeah, in 2001, Dorf to Bingo King.
He's hitting Ernest levels.
Kinda.
You know? When it stopped,
I'm amazed I haven't heard of that. Because like I've heard Dorf, like Dorf on golf.
That's the famous one.
But I've heard that as like a punchline. Like I don't, not as a like a legitimate media. And I don't mean that to sound insulting because I'm sure that's how that just kind of came across. Yeah. I mean that more as like when I've heard the words Dorf on golf, I was just like, I thought it was the guy from Star Trek.
Oh, Worf.
Worf.
Worf. Worf so on golf. Personally, I would love to see Worf on golf. So if there's
what's
any,
he doing?
If there,
I know he's still got Star Trek money, so he's fine.
You
I'm
know,
sure.
You know what game he was in? Surprisingly, this ties into a game I've been playing recently. He was in Saints Row 2.
The actor who played Worf?
Yeah, and I think his name's Michael something. I can't remember his full name. But yeah, he played Mero in Saints Row 2. He was he was the redneck trucker with the mullet.
Michael Dorn.
Michael Dorn, yeah. He was Mero. And I always thought that was just such a weird casting role for that. Also, while we have a second, before we get to Pro Jared, because that's something we want to talk about. You've played the Saints Row series, right?
I've played 2 once, I've played 3 a handful of times, and I've played 4 once. And then I don't even think I've played Get Out of Hell. I've had the code for it forever, and I've just never gotten around to playing it.
If there's anyone out there that's ever played the Saints Row series, I wish I could talk to them and get their feedback on this. Because is it just me, or is there a gigantic jump in your character between Saints Row 1, 2, 3, and 4? Because in Saints Row 2, I remember hating the main character so much that you portrayed because he was such an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a part where he's at a bar, and these people come in and start shooting, and he's flirting with the girl behind the counter. And then when the people come in, he grabs her and pulls
her
in front.
As a human shield.
And there's another part with Mero, and the reason I bring it up, where you're trying to get revenge on him for killing one of your
lieutenants.
I think his name was Carlos. And the way you do it is you put his girlfriend in the trunk of a car, which he then crushes with his monster
truck. Because he's the monster truck, and you lock and you put her in one of the rows of cars.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, Jesus Christ, your character's an asshole. And then by game 3, he's lighthearted and everything's fun.
That's because in game... Well, you have to also look at, like, there's a pretty staunch difference between Saints Row 2 and Saints Row 3.
Tone-wise,
yeah,
everything.
Saints Row 2 was a pretty kind of... little bit heavier. Like, it was a little bit cheekier than Grand Theft Auto, but it still was pretty much a... This is a gangster story.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, Saints Row 3 then leaned into the comedy
the
side
pop culture
of
aspect of
yeah,
it, which was
really,
great.
And never looked back.
Yeah.
So
no, it looked way forward.
So I think that...
way forward. They have a big announcement coming up soon.
Saints Row does?
Volition. They're like, yeah, stay tuned. There's a Saints Row movie being made. I meant to mention this.
Do we need that, though?
Yes, because the Saints Row story is great. I legitimately love that. It's the
except
mortal...
you hated the protagonist in the first 2 games.
Well, I guess it's once they got to Saints Row 3, it's the Mortal Kombat thing where like all the old Mortal Kombats were very serious, but then when they got to Mortal Kombat 9, it kind of developed a softer tone.
I disagree with that a lot.
In Mortal Kombat 9 or that the old games were super
serious?
That
the old games were super serious.
Maybe I'm just... I'm
especially because that leaned well, like they got goofy well before 9,
but not to the level that they are now.
I mean,
now they're like Johnny Cage. It's Johnny Cage is the reason that it's so funny.
And Johnny Cage has always been Johnny Cage, though.
He has. That's why I've always loved him.
And you know, like look at the new characters that they've introduced in the last 2 games, and then realize that we don't have a meat, and we don't have a mocap.
Okay, but that's true.
And like,
but was that in story or that was just like characters? That was characters you could play as. The tone of the game. But I mean like storyline-wise.
That has also always kind of been like cheesy B movie. Like look at the Mortal Kombat 4.
Oh, you're speaking...
I'm pretty sure it's 4.
You're speaking Greek to me because once it got past 3, it wasn't until 9 that I picked it up again.
Yeah, because like... even Mortal Kombat like 4 was just, you know, the like it's that's the one that the character ending that everyone points to is like, wow, this is awful. And it's the you can't do this, like it's when it's Jax's ending, I think, of you can't do this, this is brutality, this is not brutality, this is fatality. And he throws him off the cliff, and then it's the Raiden. It's like the Raiden sound when he flies across the screen, which they took out in 11. Don't think I haven't noticed that, NetherRealm. Patch immediately, please.
But I wonder though if they thought it was good and serious, and it just came out goofy, or if they were aiming for that. Because Saints Row, they were clearly aiming for it. Whenever you get to part 3, I mean,
the fact that it's called Mortal Kombat with a K.
From kind game of, one.
Kind from of game makes me one. Think that.
Unless that was truly a misspelling that they were like, you know what? It works.
And even
stick
like,
with it.
And he's always been kind of like jokey about stuff too, because it's, you know, like Ermac.
Noob Saibot.
Yeah. Like stuff like, and even the Toasty guy. That was in game two.
It was in game two. So I guess the first game was the only one that was super serious. Well, fuck. Damn it. I keep forgetting this isn't Thursday at this point. Friendships and Babalities.
Yeah.
So I'll give it to you. But I still think there was a bigger jump in Saints Row from
cheeky
gangster movie two to three.
Full on parody.
Where you start the game off by robbing a bank with dressed as Johnny Gats. Mm-hmm. And then you're literally hauling the bank vault by helicopter as you're shooting at another helicopter. Then you get on a plane, you jump out of the plane, and while you're trying to race to save Shandi, you're shooting other people as they come down, and then you fly through the plane. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
And then game four, where it literally starts with, okay, do you end world hunger or cure cancer?
I was chose to end cancer.
Because you're the president.
And Allie, you became president. She just gave us a look. You became president because in part four, you're no longer...
So,
hold on. You need to hear it. You need to hear it. In part four, you're no longer the pop culture gangsters. You are now an elite strike force that the government sends in to stop this bad guy, and he ends up launching a nuke. Your character then climbs the nuke to disarm it, knowing it will kill you to save everybody else, and then you disarm the nuke and you fall off of it and you free fall into the White House, crash through the roof, land in the Oval Office, and then it cuts ahead a couple years and you're now president.
Because in Saints Row 3...
And then it gets weirder.
They've become cultural icons.
Yes.
So it's been like, they're this murdering gang, but...
But look how cool they are.
Their colors are cool.
Yeah.
But they're so cool. Like, Johnny Gat's such a funny guy.
Johnny Gat's awesome.
Johnny Gat is pretty cool.
Johnny Gat was always the best. And then from there, aliens attack, and...
I need to go back. So you're president.
Yes.
And your first, like...
Your first official act.
First official act is
either
cure cancer,
yes,
or
end world hunger.
End world hunger.
And can we tell you how that's presented to you?
How is that presented?
Your chief of staff,
your vice president,
yeah.
Who is
Keith David?
Keith David playing
Keith David.
Keith David walks up with two bills. One that says like, one says literally fuck cancer, mm-hmm. and the other one says like end world hunger, and you have to press left trigger, right trigger.
Because you can only choose one.
You only choose one. Playa.
I don't have a response to that.
It's amazing.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, like, and this will put like a little bit of context to it, the game ends with you breaking out of the AI matrix that the aliens have imprisoned you in.
Yeah.
And so you have to kill the aliens.
And then you're on a ship in the real world. And you're
what
trying
context
to,
did that give me?
I know.
And then you're trying to gather up other people from the gang, but then you can go into the virtual simulation to stop Zinyak.
I will say though, like, and as goofy as the game is, I do want to give it credit because it has the best romance options of any game, where it's whenever you go up to one of your...
You just press a button.
It's just like, say hello, ask for a mission, fuck.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who it is, except
Keith David.
I was going to say, Keith David is the only one that you can't.
Because if you're a man, I don't know about a woman.
I was going to say, like, because I've always played as a man.
Right.
I've always made him the British dude.
I know as a man, if you ask him, he's like, let's just keep it cool, player. My favorite is Kinsey, because you just walk up to her and you just go, hey, Kinsey, let's fuck. And she punches you mm-hmm. and then jumps on you. Mm-hmm. It is the weirdest game. Now, then you have Gat Out of Hell, which is after the Saints have stopped the aliens from the fourth game, Satan chooses your character to marry his daughter Jezebel. So then Johnny Gat and Kenzie Kensington have to go to hell and save the boss, who is what you're known as. And the ending of that, once you do all that, is that God gives you a choice. Hey, you stopped Satan's army from beating me. What do you want? Johnny Gat, who is the hero, chooses to recreate the world, which leads to Agents of Mayhem, where they're no longer criminals. Now they're actually cops. It is the best storyline. And that is being made into a film by the director of Fate of the Furious and Straight Outta Compton, F. Gary Gray.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Think about that. Let that soak in a little bit.
End of show. We did it.
Always want to talk about Saints Row on this show.
Welcome to the Saints Row podcast.
It's a shame the Saints Row 3 Switch game is not good.
Yeah.
I bought it.
I saw one where it's even somehow it's worse on TV than in handheld.
The handheld version's fine. Handheld looks great, but mm-hmm. TV looks terrible. I was playing it. Bob walked in, and Bob is somebody that has played Saints Row. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what are you playing? I was like, Saints Row 3? And he paused and looked at it. It looks terrible. It does. Anyway, let's talk about Pro Jared. Boy, howdy.
My favorite thing of this is the Pro Jared subreddit.
Oh, I bet it's just torched right now, isn't it?
Someone made a comment of like, oh, and he's a mod here, so expect to see a lot of deleted and removed comments and posts. And one of the other mods responded with, not anymore, he ain't.
Oh.
The Pro Jared subreddit turned on him hard.
On Jared?
On Jared. Totally, like, and they've, like, it's been archived, I'm pretty sure. Let me see, I'm going to try to pull it up because it literally, one of the posts just broke me while we were recording Nerd Up.
While he's doing that, we'll give you some context of what happened. If you're a fan of Pro Jared, so he is a YouTuber.
And Twitch streamer.
And Twitch streamer. And I remember seeing him from Normal Boots.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked his reviews. He had, like, the one-minute reviews.
He had really good content.
He did. He had really great content. I remember a couple of months ago, I introduced him to Ali and Lindsay because he did one about Sailor Moon, mm-hmm. where he was dressed as Sailor Mercury. And, yeah.
Have you seen that picture?
I've seen an edited version of it, thank God, a censored version. But he was a big fan of Sailor Moon, and I just thought he was entertaining. He was very cool. So I was a big fan of him. And last week, I got a message from Ethan, Craig Miles. He said, can Pro Jared be the motherfucker of the week? And I was like, why? What did he do? So as Ethan's typing it to me, I just looked his name up, and then that started the whole fire thing of apparently he put out a tweet saying that he and his wife were getting a divorce. And
very, very PR, yeah, like very super professional, just sterile. You know, I've tried, well, sterile, but also very much painting it as like he's done everything. He's tried so hard.
Well, he's trying to make sure they both leave it with like grace class and
dignity.
And, yeah.
And
they did not.
And just like, you know, I've seeked therapy both in couples and this, and it's just, it's not working out. We all just, you know, we want to like, let me try to pull it because it's some bullshit. So he puts out that statement, and then his wife, now estranged, tweets out a series of tweets just putting him on blast of, yeah, so he made a statement, but I can't see it because I'm blocked.
He blocked her. Before and then she made the statement.
Let me see if it's...
And by the way, it's important to mention that his wife is... And I know this does not matter in the grand scheme of things, but his wife is a cosplayer.
Mm-hmm.
She's very popular herself. She's gorgeous. She seems perfectly nice.
So this is the statement he put out. My wife Heidi and I have filed for divorce. I know this may come as surprising and upsetting for many of you, but know that we do this so that we may both seek happiness for ourselves. During this time, you may see a lot of rumors, speculation, and gossip going around. I ask that you make your own observations and come to your own conclusions. I will add that this decision was reached after extensive individual therapy on my part and couples therapy together. With that said, this is all I plan on stating publicly regarding this matter. Heidi's privacy, mental well-being, and discretion has always been and will remain my highest priority through all of this.
Boy, there's the stabbing point right there.
It is my hope that we both exit this marriage with style and grace. I plan on continuing to do everything I can on my part to make this happen. Thank you for your understanding, patience, kindness, and respect for our privacy. The two best responses to that tweet were someone saying, oh man, I'm sorry this is happening, and then responded to his own tweet of saying, wait, I just saw what happened, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I take it back. No, wait, I just read what happened, I take it back.
Yeah.
And then the other one being the woman that he the alleged infidelity
something
came
Conrad.
From Holly Conrad.
Yeah, that was
saying, I'm so sorry you're going through this. Let me know if
I'll
I can
be there
for I'll
you.
Be there for, yeah, let me know if I can do anything for you, something like that. So he posted that statement, and as someone who, I am not up on YouTube drama, I don't follow anything regarding like YouTube celebrities for the most part, aside from like...
We've done with like the PewDiePie controversies
and we've talked
stuff
about
like
stuff
that.
Like that, but so this is the first time that like Pro Jared has legitimately like, I've enjoyed his content for years now, because like he does really good reviews, which he's almost stopped doing entirely to focus on his Let's Play channel and like his Twitch streams, which, you know, is just a thing that he's like, it's, I think it's something of... That like that's a revenue thing, is just it's easier to do live Let's Plays and get money from Twitch than it is to, you know, write and
create
edit and direct
content.
An actual like you know, big review.
Kind of like this
like
podcast.
That.
It's easier to make this podcast than to like make YouTube videos.
Yes, very much so. So Heidi then goes on a huge, huge multi-thread Twitter rant about what actually happened.
Because she's rightfully pissed.
Right. That kind of starts with, where is the, a screenshot of it showing that she's been blocked by Jared. I'm recently learned that my husband, Pro Jared, has been fucking Holly Conrad behind my back for months. I have no idea what announcement he just made because he blocked me.
Yeah.
And then it goes on of, I have proof, explicit conversations, pictures.
It spirals.
And then it goes, and then she goes into like the abuse that she received of him being very, very emotionally manipulative.
Gaslighting
her, telling her that, you know, she's the one crazy, even though he started a not safe, you know. So
I think this is an important part of the show where mm-hmm. we should mention, and I wanted to say this, and I'm glad you got to that part, but I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think it's very important to note that a man cheating on his wife is terrible. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
Anyone cheating on anyone is terrible.
But if that was all that this was, mm-hmm. that Pro Jared cheated on his wife and that was the drama, that's one thing. That's going, oh, he's a piece of shit. That sucks. Mm-hmm. But that would be the end of it. That would mm-hmm. be, he was kind of a douchebag. I personally wouldn't watch his content anymore because I think that's terrible. Mm-hmm. But that would be the end of it. And if that was all it was. But unfortunately, that's not all it was. And that's not why we're talking about it. Because if it were just that, we wouldn't even mention it on the show.
I mean, we might mention it, but yeah, it's not. It wouldn't be a topic.
But it gets to this point. And Asa, please continue. This is where the story turns into, now we need to have a discussion.
So apparently, and I didn't know this about him at all.
I didn't either.
I didn't know he existed outside of YouTube and Twitter.
Same.
Like,
I thought that was his home.
So he apparently... originally years ago started a Tumblr page that was adult content but it was supposed to be a safe place that people could share
body positivity.
Images, body positivity, sex positivity, all great things.
And he would jokingly post send nudes. Like, that was apparently a joke among them, was him asking for nudes.
Yeah. And yeah. even like people sending him, and he would show Heidi.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, that's your thing, cool. And then it turned into, then she found out that after he told her he had shut it down, he kept one going. And then that turned into, she just found out that he had a whole separate Snapchat account dedicated to sending nudes and receiving nudes from fans.
Right.
And then when she confronted him about it, he pretty much just was like, well, are you going to be cool? Like, he made it seem like it was like she was in the wrong.
Yeah, because she already knew about the other one. So.
Right. So, and yeah. even though he told her that it had ended, but it hadn't.
Right.
So it's a lot of shadiness. And then it comes out that a lot of people are coming forward that he was not necessarily sending them explicit material, like photos of himself, but he was grooming them as young as 15.
Yeah.
So
some of the people that had
younger fans that he, like, from what I can understand, and I could be wrong in this, but like, he would make very sexualized comments to and flirt with, but never, you know, truly acted on anything on underage fans. But like, so, which not better.
Well, there is one in particular who goes by the screen name Chai, I believe it was, who said that Jared had messaged, and I think Chai is a boy. I may be wrong about that, because I know there's another one named Charlie, and Charlie's a girl. Mm-hmm. And I think Chai is a boy. If I'm wrong about that, I'm sorry. But that he was 15 when Jared was, he subscribed to the Tumblr, mm-hmm. and that Jared would send him nudes specifically,
okay.
and would also ask for them.
Okay.
And then when he finally broke down and sent him nudes, again, at 15, mm-hmm. Jared, and told him, I am 15, do not publish these. These are just for you.
Mm-hmm.
That Jared then published them anyway and cut out the parts where he said he was 15.
Yeah.
So that is where it gets to a legal standpoint of, if there really is proof that he said, look, I am 15, you can't do anything with these, mm-hmm. and Jared's asking for them, now it's gone beyond Pro Jared is losing his YouTube channel too. He's probably seeing jail time.
Which he has, he is down to 822,000 subscribers. For context, on May 1st, he was at 1,033,000.
I was one of them.
I was too. Yeah, I like one of those numbers is my number, because yep. I unsubscribed from his from the YouTube and his gameplay channel.
And as Ethan told me today, same for him. This reminds me a lot of another YouTube star. Do you remember recently Austin Jones?
Nope.
Well, he was, I don't know what it was.
Which this
he
is one of the things that's kind of amazing.
He did the exact same thing. I just want to mention. He also, he messaged underage girls because he's a popular YouTuber and would ask to send naked pictures. And when they did, he got busted and now he's serving 10 years for that.
And that's one of the crazy things is like, because Pro Jared isn't even the biggest YouTube person that's had a scandal this week.
Right.
He's just the one that we know.
Yeah.
And it's even
personally.
Though.
Well, not personally.
No. But like,
we followed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't know who this other one was. The Charles.
James Charles.
Yeah. I'd never heard of that person until like stuff started to pop up on Reddit. And it was usually because there was the crossover between, oh, Pro Jared, I'm going to lose all my subscribers in a day. And then, you know, James Charles, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't know who that is, but.
He apparently had the largest drop in history of a YouTuber.
That's one of my favorite memes to come out of it was someone was like, man, I can't believe you're about to cross 800,000 subscribers. I was there when you had 1 million subscribers. As opposed to, you know, I can't believe you're about to cross 1 million. I was there from you had 10 type thing.
By the way, I love the subreddit for Pro Jared. I just went to it.
Yes. So
the message that just says thank you. Did you read it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Ever since the news came up about Jared being a bitch. Jesus.
Yeah. And it's kind of great to see that, you know, his own fan community has, because he very much, and apparently like Holly Conrad too, put out a bullshit thing of like, who are you going to believe, me or someone you don't even know? Because, you know, I'm all about happiness and positivity. And Bob was like, well, no one knows you either.
Yeah, I didn't know who fuck Holly Conrad was. I mean, I didn't know who Heidi O'Farrell was either.
So
I found out she was Pro Jared's wife.
I knew her from, because of like other Pro Jared stuff. I knew Holly because she is the ex-wife of one of the people who appears on Game Grumps a lot and is like a member of that team.
Currently?
Yeah, he's like, it's Ross.
Oh, I thought you meant she was a member of the team.
No, well, I mean, she'd done stuff. So, remember that video I sent you, that series of videos of them trying to get into World of Warcraft?
Yes.
That was her. Like, she was the one that they brought in later after Dan dropped out and they needed a replacement person.
Right.
And she was the one like, Ross, you were showing them nothing. Like, you were making it seem like this is all about just repeating the same number presses. Like, here's a bunch of fun stuff you can actually do. Like, she was what kind of opened it up to them.
Right.
So, like, I knew who I was aware of who she was.
See, I did not know her.
Her and Ross had announced their separation a couple months ago.
You think it had anything to... No, I don't want to get
that's all just speculation.
That. Yeah,
that's
not us on air.
But it was just like, oh, holy shit. Like, this just came out of nowhere. But to see the subreddit, you know, really rally behind Heidi and really support Heidi. Because she, of the, like, between Pro Jared, Holly, and Heidi has the least amount of followers, the least amount of, like, exposure.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Because, and so it would be very easy for these two, you know, public figures team up and shut her down.
Yeah.
And that's very much like she's had just this huge outpouring of support, which is really nice to see. Cause like, yeah, she's been put through a lot of, even like Peanut Butter Gamer was like, when she made her first, like, hey, this is some bullshit. He was like, wow, this ain't it, Chief. And people were like, hey, what the fuck, man? Like, that's not cool. And then he, like, the next day put out a statement of just, like, a public apology to her. Like, I have been told, because, like, Pro Jared was one of his best friends.
Right.
He's like, I have been told things were a certain way for years.
Right.
And now being presented with this evidence and seeing that I was being lied to is, like, heartbreaking and also just, like, I was way out of line.
Well, he probably wanted to back his friend.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Because, yeah, it's like it's one of his best friends. And again, it's one of his best friends. So I'm sure, you know, Jared was spinning this tale of Heidi was being abusive and, oh, she won't let me actively cheat. So
one thing
that's
I'm worried about with Heidi is that she apologized. She said, I apologize for any role I had in this culture of him sending nudes and stuff like that, because again, she knew about it at a point and she said she was okay with it. And I wonder if she's opened herself up to any legal trouble by bringing this out, by saying I was a part of it, if they can prove that any of those people were underage.
I don't think so, because like everything was made like perfectly clear, you know, by it was supposed to be, you know, just, you know, adults doing this. And it kind of seems like the really shady, seedy stuff happened after she had thought like everything had been shut down.
Right, entirely on him. But I'm sure that they will spin it differently. Like, his people will spin it.
I mean, maybe.
You know
I don't know how much people he has left, because Like, so Peanut Butter Gamer has distanced himself from him.
Normal bootstrapped him.
Normal, like, Gerard, the completionist, like, without actually naming him, was like, okay, this sucks. I can't believe this would happen. Also, here, I'm donating $15,000 to these various charities to kind of, like, help combat shitty behavior like this. And then Normal Boots put out a statement that, because I talked to Dalton about this, because Dalton really likes Gerard the completionist, so I didn't know if he'd also watched Pro Jared stuff. Because I don't remember if it was completionist led me to Pro Jared or vice versa, but it was one of those.
I think Peanut Butter Gamer was my gateway.
Okay. Then yeah. I don't know any of his stuff, but I've seen him do stuff with Jared and Gerard.
Yeah.
So I asked Dalton about it, and then I told him about the Normal Boots thing dropping him. And it was very much we have already been, like, before this all came to light,
yeah,
they said, like, April 4th, an unsolicited email had been brought to our attention.
Which is apparently from Charlie and Chai. Those are the people that did that.
So, like, an unsolicited email was brought to our attention. We launched our own investigation. We did not tell any of the only people involved in Normal Boots that knew about this was Jared. Like, we only told him. That's it. Like, and we have already dropped him. There was going to be, like, they said something like there was going to be an acknowledgement that he was going to be removed from the Normal Boots family. But now that everything has been brought to light, they, like, kind of had to release kind of a rushed statement of, yeah, yep, nope, he was already on his way out. And
that's just shocking. Like, what's shocking to me, I mean, it's definitely shocking to me about the underage stuff, but just that. Watching Pro Jared on YouTube, he seemed like such a normal, and this is going to sound wrong because I'm not trying to kink shame anybody, but he just seemed like this really straight-laced YouTuber. I had no idea that this other side existed in virtual space where he was posting naked pictures of himself or soliciting naked pictures of other people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not just him, obviously, with the Austin, Austin Johns, Austin Jones.
I keep wanting to say Austin St. John, and it's definitely not him.
Definitely not Austin St. John.
Also, just real quick, because, like, there is absolutely, like, if you are in, like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with, you know, sending nudes.
No.
To someone who is
adults who
it.
Are consenting.
Consenting adults who are, like, there's nothing wrong with that. Right. If you're in a relationship with someone and, like,
they're cool with
and
it.
And they're cool with it, like, and again, it's all part of communication, and consent is the big thing here. The problem, the big issue is when she thought, when his wife thought he wasn't doing this anymore, and he still was. Or if he was sending inappropriate pictures to people who were not wanting them, yeah, or were expecting them even.
Right.
Like, that's where the line is drawn.
Right. But it sounds like it sounds like almost everyone that did this, at least that have come forward, aren't saying that he sent them stuff they didn't they didn't ask for, mm-hmm, that they sent and he sent, and he did pressure them, some of them, into sending nudes.
That was the other thing, is if you are using your status
to get people
to do it, of, yes, even though, like, it should just be able, you should just be able to interact with someone like that.
Right.
It's when, you know, someone's like, oh, hey, you know, I'm such a big fan, you know, it's like, oh, well, you're cute though. The only way I'm going to talk to you is if we sexualize it.
Right.
That's when you get, that's super scummy. That's right. Not okay. If you're using your position of power or your position of authority, even if it is just being a YouTube personality.
Right. Well, and this isn't anything new, Allie. I'm going to bring this to you and get you into this conversation. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just YouTubers that done it. Like, of course, you heard about Pro Jared and then this Austin, whoever his name is, I've already forgotten it, and I don't want to get it wrong because I don't want to put anyone on blast that doesn't deserve to be there. Mm-hmm. But it's not just them. This has been going on for a very long time, where people who are in power, I mean, isn't this the basis of, like, that, and I don't know the official name for it, but where someone in power, almost like rape, when someone in power uses that power to get you to do things that you normally wouldn't do, it's been in Hollywood, it's in music, it's everywhere. So yeah, Now it's in YouTube. And what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, you said it's everywhere, so the fact that it's here shouldn't be surprising. It's disappointing, but it shouldn't be surprising. And in a way, this is very similar to part of the thing that happened with James Charles, because the thing that's really affected him is that he tries to, or it's been, he's been accused of manipulating
men,
heterosexual straight men for his benefit.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came out against him is someone said he's straight, and he said, it doesn't matter, I'm famous.
And I don't understand that. Like, I've never been, I don't know if you've, have you ever hobnobbed with celebrities?
No.
Me neither.
I'm right here.
But we know you're good.
Okay.
We know you're good. But the whole idea, and maybe, I always thought that maybe it was a male power thing over, I don't know, I feel like this is going to sound offensive. Male power over women, because you hear about it in the workplace. Anytime a man has a power, is in power, and he uses that to do other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's very much what like the pro Jared stuff feels like. But now you have James Charles, who's using that against other men.
Yeah.
I've never understood that dynamic. And is it because I'm a man?
What dynamic?
Of I'm a celebrity, therefore I want you to do things that make you uncomfortable. I don't understand that.
It's
anytime I've ever heard of it.
Is entitlement. It's 110% entitlement.
And I get that. What I mean is I don't get the reaction to it. If Taylor Swift, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, or Kate Upton, if they said to me, I think you're cute, I want naked pictures of you, I wouldn't do it. I don't care who they are. So who is it?
But how old are you?
Well, yeah, I'm 36 years old.
You are a grown-ass adult who knows what your limits are and where your lines are.
Well, that's what I'm asking. It's like, who is the target on this? Is this not just women? This is also men. Is this just an age group? Like, who are these people preying on generally?
Generally, it's people that are vulnerable in some state. So either they are coming into themselves and just growing up and being more mature, or they're dealing with their sexuality, or they are in a new atmosphere in a way. Maybe they're just getting into a different type of culture because of a job or a position, and they don't know how to get ground under their feet. They are vulnerable because of one of these things, and it honestly can follow you into adulthood. That's how a lot of the stories in Hollywood start, is they feel like they have to keep their position.
And look at Harvey Weinstein.
And to add on to what you said, like also just young people in general.
Yeah.
Think of how excited we still get when someone famous responds to us on Twitter. Just that, they acknowledged I'm a person. Mm-hmm. Like, this is someone that I have up on a pedestal, that it's still just like, sweet, that's super cool.
Mm-hmm. That's so even more heightened when you are.
Couple that when you're young, when you're a teenager, mm-hmm. especially with like someone like the Charles dude, like he's, you know, he's going after heterosexual, like he was going after straight boys.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, especially with how young he is, because he's like 19,
he's
isn't
19.
He?
That's what I was going to mention. Yeah.
He's going after people who may not be comfortable. They may not truly, they may not know that they may be struggling with their sexuality.
Yeah.
And so if they have someone who they could perceive as someone to look up to, I want to make this person happy. Mm-hmm. Like, I want this person to treat me well. I want this person to continue to acknowledge me. So I'm going to have to do what he's asking me to do. It's a very similar thing of, like she said, with, you know, when you talked about Harvey Weinstein, of you have a young person trying to break into the industry. They're moved to Los Angeles from wherever they're from. They don't have any family out there. They don't have any friends. And now they have someone who can be very beneficial to potentially their career or to something like that. So again, I have to do what this person wants me to do so I don't lose that.
I want to say that one of the parts of this show that I hate is that I try to ask questions that I already agree with the answer with, but to provide for people that are listening that are like, because I agree with you 100%. Even before you said it, that's exactly what I was thinking. And I don't want people to think like, God damn, is Shannon so naive? No, I get it. I like to provide the gateway for people to talk about it. So please understand that I'm a very intelligent person. I went to a community college, 3.4 GPA. Do you think that because James Charles is only 19, Like, do you see a difference in what James Charles did? I mean, clearly there's a difference because, as far as we know, James Charles hasn't solicited underage naked photos, and Pro Jared has. But just the culture of preying on people, do you think that there should be more leniency on someone like James Charles because he is 19? And for all we know, he could be a victim of himself, then, and he is just continuing the cycle as opposed to Jared being 33.
Well, that is unfortunate if he is continuing a cycle of abuse. He is over 18. He is not a child in the eyes of the legal system.
So you don't think that, but there's no leeway. There's no gray area.
Like, yeah, no. Like, again, it's one of those things where for the system that we have, no. Should it be a thing where he is because I don't know how many times I've talked about this on the show. The legal system in the United States is broken as shit.
Right.
Like, it is totally warped and totally not looking to serve the best interest of the United States citizens.
Right.
In any capacity.
Agreed.
It's a total shit show. And so what it should be is if someone has suffered this kind of trauma, or like if, you know, there's people who, like, if there's, you know, the underage people that Pro Jared allegedly did, or anyone who suffered, you know, some sort of trauma as a child, or, you know, sexual, physical, whatever, what have you, like, mental health, which, and it's, you know, it's funny that we're talking about this in May because it's Mental Health Awareness Month. Like, any of those things, we're vastly failing as a society. We're failing the people who go through things like this. Because there is the stigma. There's the stigma of being, especially a male, sexual assault victim, or sexual harassment victim, what have you. Like, even like people like Terry Crews,
right?
You know, as an example.
Well, look how big and strong he is.
Yeah. There's a stigma to being not just a male, like, but women face it as well too. Clearly, there's a stigma to being a victim. There's a stigma of having some sort of mental illness or mental. You know, not instability, that makes it sound much harsher. But, like, you know, look at the percentage of people who actually deal with these issues.
Yeah.
What there should be is there should be affordable, if not free, available counseling to people and allow there to be conversations like this where we can talk about, no, this isn't how things work. Like, you have to be able to be open and talk about it. And if things like – if people are afforded those opportunities, we may be able to start to see those breaks in the cycle. Instead of, I don't know how to handle what was done to me, so I'm going to internalize it, and I'm going to then get frustrated because I don't understand how this could happen to me. And then as time progresses, they will act out on those frustrations to someone else who is in a similar situation to them. So again, like, we are just totally dropping the ball as a society in the legal system as well as like the mental health care system.
Do you think there has to be a personal responsibility though to get the ball rolling? Like, let's say in the case of Pro Jared, when he was doing the Tumblr thing and he was getting pictures and he was my wife is fine with it and everything's good. The moment that he started to do the seedier side and doing the bad things, does there need to be a moment where he himself has to go, this isn't right, I need help and get help? Or can it be a, you did something wrong and we're going to try to get you help for it? Or by that point, should he just be punished?
I'm not trying to absolve, like, I'm not going to absolve anyone because, like, just because it happened to you, like, just because you're just continuing the cycle, I don't think that's an excuse. Like, if it gets to that point, yes, there should be punishment. There should be, you know, but again, like, I don't know. It's such a complicated issue.
It is.
It is a complicated, and especially with, like Asa said, the systems we have set up now, which are horrible, but in my opinion, a good way to deal with this is prisons, because most of the people that end up in prison have some sort of mental disorder. A lot of them are dealing with something, because most people are. And the environment in a prison is awful for that. Right. So almost turning a prison into a more mental health focused environment would probably benefit things a lot more.
Where it's supposed to be rehabilitation instead of
punishment.
Instead of, so they're being punished because they have to go here, but they're getting help while they're there.
Right.
They are figuring out how to cope with the things that they need to. And that is where I think our things... would be a lot easier when we have conversations like this, because it is a, should they get help or should they be punished?
Right.
Well, you can do both.
Because I truly believe that a guy like Jared, well, you said you're not trying to absolve him, and I agree with you, but I believe, and I could be wrong about this, but any person that would do the things that he did probably has a mental illness. He probably has something that makes him, that encourages him to do these things that he probably knows are wrong, but he does them anyway. So I feel like he probably does have some kind of mental illness, but it eventually gets hard when someone does something so heinous. It gets hard to feel sympathy for them, even if they do have a mental illness that could, it may have been out of his control. He may have, it, like a drug addict or something like that, where you feel something inside of you that makes you do these things even though you don't want to.
But the problem is, like, there is also just a, there's also a chance that he's just a scumbag.
That is true. It's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah.
You know?
And so it's, and like, it's one of those things where, you know, he says he's you know, seen a therapist. Heidi alludes to him having, like, sexual issues, I think is what she said. And the just textbook of tweets that she put out talking about it.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's just a shitty situation, and it is one of those things where it's way more complicated than I would love for it to just be like, oh, he's just an evil person.
Throw him in jail.
Like, throw him into the sun. Like, yeah. Just like, there's good people, there's bad people. We need to get rid of the bad people. But it's just, it's not as cut and dry like
ever
that.
It's hardly ever black and white. Like,
it's like,
the more I read about it, there's so much gray area in people that I never thought there were gray areas for. Like, a lot of the people that you think of were just monsters. Like Jeffrey Dahmer, monster. Probably had some kind of mental illness or issue, though, that caused him to do these things, and nobody helped him. He became a monster. But also, could he just be a monster? Like, it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult. It's almost like mental wellness in America and in the world, honestly, is just messed up.
The how we have viewed mental wellness and everything like that has, even from the beginning, has warped society, and through that has hurt everyone in society. Because just the ideas of you can't be weak or emotions make you weak has affected everyone in society to not deal with their emotional and mental issues in a healthy way, which can affect you mentally in almost permanent ways. And then just the, especially in America, the wanting to criminalize everything, like the war on drugs shouldn't have been a criminal issue. It should have been a health issue. And that would have changed a lot of things too, if it was. We would have looked more into mental health in connection to drugs, because they are entirely connected.
Do you, and it also, like especially with the war on drugs, also has a much more sinister background of trying to, well, we can't make it illegal for you to be black.
Yeah.
But we can do our best.
But we can, and it's the things like that and policies like that that very much, because that's the whole thing about marijuana. Like, Nixon, you couldn't arrest people for being black or being a hippie. But what do those two groups have in common? Marijuana. You outlaw marijuana, then you can start rounding up the people who are dissenting, the dissenting voice.
Right.
Yeah. And then it just kind of snowballs and escalates. And, you know, we are still seeing the ramifications of that.
Yeah.
Like, even still.
Of course, big difference between that and
what, because, like, you talk about, like, most people being in prisons, like, are, you know, have some sort of mental, the majority of people in prisons, like, especially, like, under drug charges, they're nonviolent offenders.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with them other than the fact that they like to smoke weed.
She said that, for the record.
But it's,
I just want to point that out. You're looking at me. I just want to make sure she get credit for that.
Whoever,
I don't say the smart things. She does.
But it's that thing of just, you know, everything is broken. The world is on fire.
Well, they're nonviolent offenders, and yet there are violent offenders who get off scot-free.
Right.
Or
there was a story today about a pastor who repeatedly sexually assaulted his 14-year-old daughter.
Oh, yeah, and got off.
And got 12 years, or got 10 years, I think, because, like, they recommended 70 to life. He got 10 years because he was a pastor and he's an upstanding Christian. Meanwhile, there was a man who used a toy gun to rob a convenience store, and he got, like, 50 years.
Well, there was a man.
And he was like a teenager and it was a first offense.
There was a black man who walked around Walmart with a gun that Walmart sold with his headphones on that he was going to purchase. And someone called the police on him because they said a black man was walking around the aisles with a gun. Cops came and shot him because he wouldn't respond because he had his headphones in and he died.
Yep.
And those cops? Nothing.
Yep. I mean, well, yeah, that's the... There's a story about that. It feels like every week, every month of someone like it's that open. And again, it's that open carry thing.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people's viewpoints on open carry would change if, you know, they started seeing black people walk around.
Oh, 100. Oh, my God. You know, I never even thought about that because there are guys that walk into the store that make me and I get uncomfortable whenever I see a non-police officer and like cops make me nervous, too. Mm-hmm. But I have a good say what you will, but I have a good rapport with the cops around here and I'm white. Maybe that's a part of it, but I do.
It is.
But there are people that walk into the store that are not cops. And whenever, you know, Johnny Goodbrother comes in, you know, and they're always, almost always kind of, and I don't want to say rednecky as an offensive term, but you know what I mean?
Good old
boy. Southern. Yeah. They come in with a gun strapped to their hip and talk to me like normal. And it makes me nervous every time. And that makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. Now imagine if Johnny Rebel over there saw a group of black men walking down the street, especially if they're young urban black men walking down the street with open guns. That would start such a firestorm that you would never hear the end of it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I never even thought about that. That's what you come to Podzilla 1985 for, is the eye-opening views.
Let's go back and talk about the Mortal Kombat movie.
No, we're out of time now.
I will say I still want to do the Mortal Kombat show.
I do, too.
Because I wanted to do that before 11 came out, but...
Now I want to do the Saints Row show, too. But it'd be, like, just me.
Excuse you.
And...
Excuse you.
Mortal Kombat's probably more fun. Annihilation was bad though.
Yeah.
Beyond bad.
There was a time where the first Mortal Kombat movie wasn't on Netflix and Annihilation was. So I was like, I'll watch Annihilation. It'll be just as, and then like 3 minutes in, I was like, oh no.
It was bad. You replace Johnny Cage and this is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they made that web series and now there's a new movie. Yeah. The web series I only watched like 2 episodes of and then I stopped. I don't know if it was any good.
I remember it being good, or I remember people liking it.
It was very different.
Or maybe I wanted people, or maybe just people wanted to like it. But then the web series, but then it got taken off the web because it got turned into like a DVD season or something weird. Yeah, because
I remember seeing it there. It's a weird conversation. We're going to get out of here. I want to thank you guys for listening to us tonight. We will be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. And if you are a subscriber to our Patreon, you heard us kind of mention a couple things we're going to talk about, including... scary moment in the ring when a wrestler decided to take things into his own hands and take advantage of somebody. We're going to talk about Kairi Sane and Asuka's new name as a tag team, which is just baffling and offensive, and a bunch of other stuff. That's tomorrow on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Myself, Asa, Allie, Dalton will be back, we hope, and we will see you guys then. Thank you guys for tuning in. Think about some of the things you heard about tonight. Research it. Learn more about the world. It's always important. Until tomorrow night, take care of yourselves. Later.